Luke 18, beginning at the first verse. This is God's holy word. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? That's as far as we'll read this morning in God's holy word. Beloved, one of the great doctrines of grace revealed in the Bible is the doctrine of perseverance. The doctrine of perseverance. The perseverance of the saints. Perseverance means persistence despite difficulty. It means to keep pressing on even when it gets hard. Jesus said in Mark 13, everyone will hate you because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Perseverance. In Hebrews 10:39, it says, we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Perseverance. And you remember James chapter 1, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. Having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Perseverance, the necessity and blessing of pressing on, even when it's hard. But the Bible is also very clear that the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints is true because God is a preserving God. If God were not in his grace and by his Spirit a preserving God, that he is the God who keeps his people, there would be no perseverance of the saints. God is a persevering God. The Bible is clear. The triune God knows how to save his people. The Father preserves. Being confident of this, Paul said in Philippians 1:6, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. The Father preserves. Jesus preserves. And of the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 1:14, it says, the Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. The Spirit preserves. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the preserving God, so that there can be the perseverance of the saints. And beloved, as God preserves his people, They persevere then in the Christian life. Christians press on by God's grace and Spirit, even when it gets hard. And as they press on, they grow in grace, becoming more and more like Jesus. Persevering growth, then, should be seen in every area of our lives as Christians. And so persevering growth should also be something that's true of prayer. Persevering prayer. That's our next subject, as we've been hearing for the last number of weeks from God's Word about what J.C. Ryle called the very life breath of true Christianity, prayer. The very life breath of true Christianity. And this morning we are going to consider from Luke chapter 18, encouragements to persevere in prayer. Encouragements to persevere in prayer. And that's exactly what we have here in this opening section of Luke chapter 18. Jesus knows that his disciples need this encouragement. That is why it's here. This is no random hypothetical subject. If Jesus shows us this, it's because we need to see it. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. If Jesus gives it, it's because we need it. Why do we need this encouragement to persevere in prayer? Well, the first thing that we should see is that the context helps us to understand why we need this encouragement to persevere in prayer. We could call it then the context of persevering prayer. As many insightful commentators have pointed out, Luke 17 comes before Luke 18. That's a great insight. It's always important as we read the Bible that we read it in context. That's why it's good to just not read a text here and a text there, but to read through sections of the Bible, to see what God the Holy Spirit has said before he says something, and then to see what he says after he has said something. This often is the way to answer our questions that we have. One well-known commentator says, you have a question about a passage? Read on. Read on. And often in the context, the Lord will give you the answer to open up, to explain what he's saying in any particular place. And that's certainly true here. Luke 18:1 begins with a very small word in Greek, but it's a connector word. It's not just the usual word end, and it's not just a statement without any connection to what goes before. It's a connecting word. And so the very word that Jesus said points us back to what he has just said. This is not, in Luke 18:1, a fresh thought or a completely new subject. He's been speaking about some things, and then he says, and now, or then, or but. Well, what is chapter 17 about? It's interesting. Look at, if you have your Bibles open, I hope you do. Chapter 17, look at verse 5. What do the disciples say? The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Luke 17, 5. This is a chapter about the need for faith and growth in faith. It's also a chapter, if you take some time to look through it, even if you just skim your eye over it now, it's a chapter about forgiveness. It's a chapter about love and gratitude connected to faith. And it is especially a chapter dealing with waiting for the return of Jesus, which Jesus says clearly is a matter of saving or losing your soul. And so this is what Jesus has just been speaking about, faith and the need to grow in faith. Love for one another, forgiveness, gratitude to God for what he's given us, And the reality of living in a fallen world waiting for the return of our Savior. It's all the things that Jesus has spoken about. Well, that's us, isn't it? Isn't that us? Lord, we believe, help our unbelief. Sadly, we are not as loving and thankful as we should be. And sometimes we might even say as we live our lives, where is the coming he promised? And we can start looking at all sorts of things and become discouraged and downhearted. We may feel increasingly in our culture like Noah or Lot, mentioned in Luke 17. We may look around and see the wicked prosper and the faithful suffer. As someone wrote in a poem once, we may see truth forever on the scaffold. The scaffold is where they hang people. Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. And we look at our culture, and that's the way it seems to be. And the point is, in all those things, we can be tempted to quit praying. You see? Now Jesus told them a parable. After he had mentioned all these things, we can be tempted to quit praying. Prayer is one of the great evidences of faith. Increased faith results in increased prayer. But the opposite applies as well. We grow weary in prayer, and faith begins to falter. And when faith fails, as Augustine once said, prayer dies. When faith fails, prayer dies. And so as we come to Luke 18:1, we can see, can't we, how understanding, how sympathetic, how caring and kind and helpful Jesus is to us in this context to give us what we have in Luke 18, verse 1, the call to persevering prayer. He knows us. He knows our situations. He knows what we struggle with. And in love and mercy and care and concern, Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He's the sympathetic Savior. He is the Good Shepherd. Do you know him as the Good Shepherd? Do you know that everything that we read here in the Bible is the voice of a Good Shepherd? Is he your Good Shepherd? Have you prayed to him to have mercy on you? Before we come to persevering in prayer, has there been that prayer, Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner, to heal you from your spiritual leprosy, Luke 17, to forgive your sin, Luke 17. Read the parable just after this parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner. You're a good and great Savior and Shepherd. And I want to follow you and trust you and listen to you. And this is what he tells us. He tells a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. This is the call to persevering prayer. We've seen the context of persevering prayer. Here's the call. And notice that Jesus puts it both ways, doesn't he? To drive the point home. Always pray and don't give up. See, he puts it in two different ways. He doesn't just say one or the other. He puts it both ways to really drive the point home. Always pray. Don't give up. Is there ever a day off from the call to pray? Always pray. Is there any situation in which prayer is not necessary? Always pray. Is there any aspect of your life as a Christian that can thrive without prayer? Always pray. Is there any relationship that you're in that you can handle without prayer? Always pray. Is there a difficulty that you're experiencing that you can handle without prayer? Always pray. And then knowing our weakness, Jesus puts it the other way around. Don't give up. Don't give up. It's a very interesting word. Literally, it means don't let the bad get in. Don't let the bad get in there and ruin it. It means don't be weary. Don't lose courage. Don't flag or faint or lose motivation. It's a word that's often translated, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. And so what a word this is to Jesus. The call to persevering prayer. Always pray. Don't give up. Don't give up. For every possible reason that we might have to give up. Every potential excuse, every weakness, every weariness, every temptation, any trial, what does Jesus say? Don't give up. It's so simple. It's stunningly simple, isn't it? Whatever we may say or be tempted to say or want to say to the contrary, but, Jesus just stops that in its tracks. When it comes to prayer, don't give up. Just don't give up. But Jesus knows us all so well. The mere call should be enough. The words of wisdom from the lips of our Lord should settle it. Always pray, don't give up. But we hear those words. We know those words, we could probably quote them, and we still can lose heart. So Jesus gives this call by means of a parable. And the parable, you remember, is a story from common experience to teach us a lesson, to teach us something important. Some people say an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It's a story that connects with common experience to teach us a lesson, to make a point. Usually, very often, a parable tells us about something and then says, this is like that. Here is something that you know. Well, now, here is something else that's like that, but usually much greater and much more important. But it's like that thing that you've just heard. In parables, usually there is a similarity, a correspondence between one thing and the other thing. And sometimes people think that's always what a parable has to be. And so they come to this parable. There was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And they think that must be true about God, because parables always are like the thing. And they go off on bizarre flights of fancy in terms of trying to twist this parable into what they think parables should be. But a parable, you can see, is bringing two things together. But it can be bringing two things together to show how similar they are in some cases, but also how different they can be. A parable can also teach by contrast, by showing something very unlike the point in the story. That can be the lesson that's being taught. And the picture or the point in this parable is clear, isn't it, boys and girls? You understand this story of Jesus. Here is a judge, and he is irreverent and disrespectful. He doesn't revere God or respect people. He doesn't care. That's what we could say just simply. He doesn't care about God or people. And here, Jesus also says, is a widow. In that culture, a widow, the epitome of weakness, of helplessness, of vulnerability. She has no resources, no privileges, nothing really to commend her case. This isn't a celebrity case that will bring the judge fame and fortune for taking it. And so here's the point. How can such a powerless person have any effect on such a distant, disinterested, disinclined figure like this judge? And the point is persistence. Persistence. There is the common thread in the parable. Here is what that widow had. Persistence. She didn't have anything else, but she had that. She kept coming. Kept coming. Day and night. She simply wouldn't give up. Well, what's the point? What's the lesson? Well, verse 1 interprets the parable. We should pray and not give up. One older theologian said, in terms of this parable, the key hangs at the door. The key is hanging right there at the door of the parable. This is what it means. And here's the point. If persistence can prevail in such a case, how much more should we be encouraged to persevere in prayer to our Father in heaven? To our Father in heaven. The call to persevering prayer is supported by encouragements to persevering prayer. And what are the encouragements? Number one, remember the character of God. Remember the character of God. How can you be encouraged to not give up in prayer? Remember the character of God. And this is where the parable is a contrast, isn't it? God is not like this judge. He's not like this judge. Will not God. You see, that turns it around. The judge would do this. Will not God all the more. All the more. Who is God? He's the loving, compassionate God, full of mercy, ready to hear and answer. He's the holy God who always does what is right and just. What an encouragement to keep on praying. This widow could keep on praying to a judge who didn't care. And her persistence won the day. How much more when we pray to a God who is full of love and compassion. How can you be encouraged to keep on praying? Become a good theologian. Become a good theology means just to learn about God. It's what is true about God. Know what the Bible says about God and apply it to your practice of prayer. What is true about God? How does that inform my praying? What's the last Bible study you've done where you've opened up your Bible just to learn about the character of God? Just to learn about the character of God. Have you read a book lately on the subject of who God is lately? It's encouraged to see the youth retreat coming up. The topic is the practical implications of the doctrine of the Trinity. What does the Trinity mean practically in our lives? This is so important. The ox knows its master, the donkey knows its owner's manger, but Israel does not know, my people do not understand, it says in Isaiah 1. Jeremiah 24 says, I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. They will be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me with all their heart. Knowing God means more than knowing about God, but it doesn't mean less than knowing about God. Theology is never impractical. Remembering God's character will help you persevere in prayer. Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne, yet that scaffold sways the future. And behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadow, keeping watch above his own. That's the truth. the character of God, but also, secondly, remember the privileged position of God's children. The privileged position of God's children. Will not God, Jesus said in the parable, bring about justice for whom? What does he say? In the parable, it was a widow. But what does Jesus say as he explains? Will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones, the elect? You see, it's an encouragement to persevere in prayer based on the privileged position of the people of God. We are his chosen ones. As a child of God, who are you? Who are you? You are someone who has been loved with an everlasting love. Ephesians 1, God chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world. In love, he predestined you. There'll be more in coming sermons from Ephesians, Lord willing, on this. But this is what we need to do to encourage us to persevere in prayer. Remember the love, the grace that God has shown you in your privileged position and apply it to prayer. You are no stranger to God. You are not far off. You are no enemy. You're no fatherless orphan. You are a chosen, adopted child of your Father in heaven. You have the Spirit of adoption by whom you cry, Abba, by whom you cry day or night, day and night, Abba. Will your Father in heaven not hear and answer his chosen ones? What an encouragement to pray. And you know, as I was looking at this passage, there are other encouragements, and we'll just go over them briefly, from this word, don't give up, don't lose heart. It's a word used throughout the New Testament to give encouragements, and we can see them as encouragements not to give up in prayer. Remember God's character. Remember the privileged position of the children of God as the elect. Third, remember God's mercy to you. Remember the mercy of God. 2 Corinthians 4:1, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Same word, we don't give up. Why? God's mercy. Mercy met us at the start of our Christian life, and there is mercy all the way along for us in the Christian life. God is the merciful God, and his throne is a throne of grace, that we may find mercy and grace in a time of help, need. Remember God's mercy. Fourth, remember the unseen and the eternal. Remember the unseen and the eternal. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Same word. We don't give up. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary and what is unseen is eternal. Do you want to quit praying? If you want to, I'll tell you how to do it. Focus on what is seen and temporary, and you'll give up. You probably won't last a day. Do you want to keep praying? Do you want to not give up in prayer? Then focus on what is unseen and eternal, and you will persevere in prayer. Fifth, remember the reward. Remember the reward. Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary in doing good. Same word, don't give up. For at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Don't be like Esau and trade your birthright for a bowl of earthly benefits. Remember the reward. Remember the reward for perseverance and keep on praying. Sixthly, remember the cross. We're going over these much too quickly, but remember the cross. Ephesians 3:13, Paul writes to Timothy, says, I ask you therefore not to be discouraged. Same word. Don't lose heart because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. Don't give up in light of the sufferings of the Christian life, the suffering that comes for standing up for Jesus and being a Christian. If you want to persevere in prayer and not give up and not lose heart, remember the cross. remember the cross. When Jesus was suffering on the cross, the world could only see shame and defeat, but it was glory. It was glory. And when the church suffers for the name of Jesus, when Christians suffer for Christ's sake, remember the glory that God sees and that God is working out and the good that he will accomplish through it. Beloved, because of Christ, the cross is always the way to the crown. Don't give up. Don't give up. Oh, I pray and I just am suffering as a Christian. Don't give up. Paul said to Timothy, don't be offended by that suffering. It is glory. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. Keep praying. Will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you that they will see justice and quickly. It's that word quickly that is the struggle for us often, isn't it? Quickly. Quickly. I prayed for this yesterday. Where's this quickly? Well, you see, we laugh at that, but I prayed for this for a week, for a month, for a year. I've been praying for 20 years, 30 years. Quickly? The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, beloved, as some understand slowness. We often can be like kids in the back seat of the car on a long trip. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? The adults and the children work on different time scales in light of greater knowledge and experience. The adults know it's not really that long. And the destination is worth it. All the children know is, are we there yet? This is so long. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. Donald Whitney, in his book Spiritual Discipline, says, sometimes a failure to persist in prayer proves that we were not serious about our request in the first place. At other times, God wants us to persist in prayer in order to strengthen our faith in him. Faith would never grow if all prayers were answered immediately. Persistent prayer tends to develop deeper gratitude as well. As the joy of a baby's birth is greater because of the months of anticipation, so is the joy of an answer to prayer after persistent praying. And as much as a generation that measures time in nanoseconds hates to admit its need for it, God crafts Christ-like patience in us when he requires persistence in prayer. Jacob wrestled through the night in perseverance. He would not let go. He would not let go. John Stott says helpfully, in prayer, we do not prevail on God, but rather prevail on ourselves to submit to God. True, the language of prevailing on God, that's Jacob language from Genesis, is often used in regard to prayer, but it is an accommodation to human weakness. Even when Jacob prevailed on God, what really happened is that God prevailed over him, bringing him to the point of surrender when he was able to receive the blessing which God had all the time been longing to give him. Beloved, the world, the flesh, and the devil are persistent, too. And they join in whispering and sometimes shouting that tempting refrain, it's no use. It's no use. Give up. But Jesus told his disciples this parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. And he gives great encouragements in the parable to keep praying. But this section ends, doesn't it, with a call to examination. A call to examination. Have you ever wondered how that fits? However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Will he find faith on earth? Now, that has something to do with the end times, with eschatology, but I think it has more to do with examination than eschatology. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? And it begs the question, do I have faith? Do I really believe what Jesus is teaching me here and what he is telling me here? And if I do, I will persevere in prayer. And the more that I believe what he says, and the more that I believe what the Bible says about him, and the more that I simply trust in him, the more I will grow in persevering prayer. Many will give up. Many have given up. Not just prayer, but the Christian life. The love of many will grow cold. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Well, when he finds faith, along with that faith, what will he find? Persevering prayer. That's what he'll find. Jesus gives us this great encouragement to pray. We can hear from writers of old, J.C. Ryle, we are sometimes tempted to think that we get no good by our prayers and that we might as well give them up altogether. Let us resist the temptation. It comes from the devil. Let us believe and pray on. Let us pray against our besetting sins, against the spirit of the world, against the wiles of the devil. Let us pray on and not faint. Let us pray for strength to do our duty, for grace to bear our trials, for comfort in every trouble. Let us continue in prayer. Let us be sure that no time is so well spent in every day as that which we spend upon our knees. Jesus hears us and in his own good time will give us an answer. He may sometimes keep us long waiting, but he will never send us empty away. We can hear all these things. Are you encouraged to persevere in prayer? Let me end with a story, and I debated whether to include this, but I'm going to. It came across my desk. I have no hidden agenda. I have no ulterior motive in that sense. I am not thinking of anyone in particular when I relate this story to you, this occasion. Take it for what I pray it would be for all of us, an encouragement to persevere in prayer. All right? This came across my desk. It's a story of a church and who had a member named Paul. At a good church Paul had been attending while going to seminary, a dreadful thing occurred. An elder and another elder's wife had been having a secret affair and one day abandoned their spouses and children and left the church for parts unknown. They had thought these things through carefully and had all their ducks in a row. This included mailing letters of resignation to the church. The departing couple had planned their escape well, but they seriously underestimated two things: the church's love for the Lord and their love for them. Paul told me that he had never seen anything like what happened. The Sunday that the announcement was made to the congregation, the people responded with sackcloth and ashes. During a time of prayer, people wept openly over the sin of the couple and the losses felt by their devastated families. What really astonished Paul was the way God used the couple's sin for good. Believers, including leaders, openly confessed adulteries in their hearts. The church rallied around the two wounded families. Paul explains, it was like a scene from the book of Acts when a holy fear of God fell upon the early believers. It was awesome. But the church's greatest response was to vow not to give up on the erring couple. The church made contact with them and assured them that the congregation would never stop praying for them. At first, the couple hoped that these statements were pious but idle words. But time proved the church's love for them to be genuine. Many prayer meetings were held at various times of the day and night. After months of concerted prayer for the couple and many gentle but persistent contacts, God broke through. There was a cheering in the congregation the day the pastor announced that the couple had repented and wanted to return. But, he said, both parties were too ashamed to face their families or other members of the congregation. After weeks of pastoral counseling, the families were put back together and the elder, no longer in office, of course, and the other elder's wife returned to Sunday worship. Their fellow believers welcomed the repentant man and woman with open arms and tears of joy. They didn't give up. They just didn't give up. And of course, the point of a story like that is not just how we shouldn't give up on people, because we have and we do, but that God doesn't give up on his children. God doesn't give up on his children, on his chosen ones. He knows who they are, and so we keep praying. We keep praying. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up.